Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Verse 28 says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things," and then he lists them out. In other words, when Peter stood up in verse 13 and got their attention, said after in the midst of this kind of debate over it, he says this, "Hey, look it." He lays out this whole thing from the Lord of how, hey, this we couldn't live up to this. It wasn't what worked anyway. And he brought this word of wisdom that settled the matter. And it seemed good, again, for us as New Testament believers, that the Holy Spirit is going to move in that way and bear witness in this thing, and it's going to kind of be a settling thing. It doesn't add more confusion. It doesn't create more conflict. A word of wisdom just comes into a situation. Now, this doesn't just happen in a gathering. See, I think sometimes we think that these manifestations are going to happen only in a gathering of people, of believers, you know, in a church service setting. See, I don't see it that way. These things happen in various situations and circumstances throughout our life, including these. I tell people, when I tell them about our hospitality table over here and the significance of what that means to me as a pastor, that is a very important area of ministry to me. Because as I walk through, I'm not eavesdropping on you. I'm telling you, I'm not. But I can hear things that are just words. Not always, because my hearing's getting worse. So you can pretty much say anything you want most of the time around me, because I probably won't hear it. But as I'm walking along, though, I can hear some of the things that people are praying for other people for. They're talking about victories and struggles in the Lord. There's a lot of ministry going on. I don't doubt that there's some word of wisdom that comes. Now, if you think, oh gosh, I hope I'm the next one to share a word of wisdom, don't worry about that. You know, the Lord is just going to give you insight in a situation as you need that, as it's going to be to the profit of all. Remember, it's not about you. You can be set yourself free. It's not about you. It's about God just simply moving through you. A lot of times, you won't even know until way after the fact that someone might come up to you and say, "Brother or sister, you know that one time we were talking," you won't probably even remember it. And they'll say, "The Lord really spoke to me and this is how it played out." And you just high five, glory to God. You know, praise God you didn't know about it, because you might get a wagon and paint it all up and word of wisdom tour you go on, you know? You see what I'm saying? Isn't that our tendency? Isn't that like us to do that? And so, you know, now we're going to put out our little 5-gallon bucket behind the thing and give to the Word of Wisdom ministry. And, you know, it's just the human thing, you know. But so our objective is, man, let's let, for the edification, to build one another up. The Spirit wants to move through you to bless and help somebody else out. Let's look at another one. The word of knowledge is the next on our list as we go through this today. A word that gives insight to a situation. The first one was a word that settles things in a situation. So it's kind of a settling, calming effect that word of wisdom brings in. Now, a word of knowledge, on the other hand, is one that gives insight to a situation or a matter that was not previously known or could have been known in a natural way. It was not previously known, nor could it have been known in a natural way. Basically, my emphasis on it, my parentheses in my notes was divine revelation. God gave you insight into a matter. John chapter 4, Jesus. He's talking with the woman at the well. They have this dialogue together. And which is just so much in there to talk about, but let's just stay focused. He looks, as he interacts with her, he gets toward the latter part of his dialogue with this gal. And, you know, she says, "Well, yeah, I want water." "Well, yeah, okay, well, go get your husband." "Well, you know, I don't have a husband." Okay. He goes on and has this interaction with her about, "Well, no, you've had 5. And this one that you're living with now is not your husband." And Jesus, divine intervention as the Spirit is moving through him, just brings this out onto the table. It's a word of knowledge. It wouldn't have been known otherwise, except it was revealed. It's amazing how this can happen. These things are not specific to any one person. You may get a word of wisdom one time in a situation and not really know it. You may get, and you may be aware of it. Maybe as you journey along with the Lord, I've found from time to time, I become a little bit more aware of when that might be the case, that God's speaking something. I don't get warm. My ears don't turn red. I don't know anything about it, but just inside myself, I realize, that's not something I'm normally aware of. So that's interesting. Now, sometimes I'll even say, hey, I think this might be significant. You might really tuck this away and think through it, pray through it. If I say that, I would consider it at least. If someone said that to me, I would consider it. Not in a weird way, but just a way of, hey, this might be insightful. This might be beneficial. This might help you out. But one time it might be a word of wisdom. Another time it might be a word of knowledge. Because these things can move through any believer. These aren't offices held. These aren't specific in that way. These are options that happen to all and can move in and through all believers. These are not independent, and these particular things, these particular, again, manifestations are not singled out for just an individual here or an individual. It can just happen in and through the body of Christ as God wills. Wonderful, interesting. So, Jesus exposes the reality of this gal, who she really was. Now, one of the things I want you to notice is there was no studying of this, there was no investigative stuff done on it, and there was no analyzing of it. It was just something that was known, that was brought out, God's Spirit brought it out in order to minister more effectively in that situation. So again, this idea of no one should be thinking that, oh, I've got the word of knowledge. That's my gift. I've got the word of knowledge. Not likely. The reality is God manifests that in a needed situation to what? Maybe reveal himself to someone? This list can go on and on and on of what that might pertain to. It might be to an issue that is really creating a lot of trouble for that person. And one of the things that I think you and I need to learn as we explore these things, as we develop and grow in these things, is how to handle these things right inside ourselves. That's what I find, you know, in my journey with the Lord. I'm very visionary. And being visionary is, I have to really be careful when I'm talking to certain people, especially around the office. I have to be real careful, and I try, because I've been in other spots where I've been working with really visionary, other visionary people, and I'm trying to understand, is this something we do something with today, or is this just something we're doing? You know, because when you're visionary, you're just looking out at things and seeing what God might be wanting to do in a situation, in a matter. So you got to be able to, you know, contain that and understand how that, and I think that's true of these areas of manifestations of the Spirit. You know, how God works in and through our lives in that way. You remember in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira were talking about, you know, this awesome deal they made on their land sale and how they're giving all the resources to God, you know, and they're going to be as spiritual as everybody else and all that stuff. You remember that situation, right? And it was basically a matter of, it wasn't just that they were lying, but it was the hypocrisy of it all that was really one of the core issues. But what was interesting to me about that is that, again, this was kind of a word of knowledge. And he said, you're not lying to me. You're lying to God. You're lying to the Spirit, man, about this. Dead. Can you imagine? And so God gave Peter for a specific situation. And why did God strike people dead then and not strike people dead now? Because you're all liars, and I know that. We all are. Okay, it's happened. We've all done it. Isn't that the funniest thing? You never have to teach your kid how to do that. Isn't that an amazing fact? You never have to teach them how to do that. They just, it's axiomatic, you know? Funny stuff. Anyway, that whole idea is that was revealed in that situation, that word of knowledge, it was given to him. But that was, as Peter did that, why wouldn't God strike everybody dead now? Well, think about it. It was to set, one of the things that you gotta, when you're studying through the word, there are things that are done sometimes to set precedent, to reveal how significant and how serious God is about a matter. So all you can do is hope you're not Ananias or Sapphira in a situation, I guess, you know? I hope I'm not going to be the one that we set precedent with on something like that. But God has been so gracious and so good. But the information was given to Peter to set precedent, to really bring insight into a matter. And look at it, it's recorded in Scripture for us to help us to grow and develop further. What about this idea of faith, as faith is operated? So everyone's been given, in Romans 12:3, everyone's been given a measure of faith. Now that's your measure of faith to believe for salvation, right? We've all been given a measure of faith that we might believe for salvation. Great, done. Put that over there. We've all been entrusted to that. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been given a measure of faith to believe on the Lord and to have everlasting life. That's given to us. And if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, you can give your life to the Lord. God will give you the measure of faith to believe on him. It's a radical concept and it's a powerful truth. God can give that to you that you might believe on him. That's why you're here today. You wouldn't have come. Why would you come hang out at some school that converts into a church on Sundays and Wednesdays? I mean, the Lord's doing something in your heart to bring us together for that purpose. But this idea of the measure of faith that's been given to all, and then this is the idea of something a little further than that, that's really a manifestation of faith, where we are expressing our faith, believing on God. Now, this might be a various circumstance, a situation that might happen to you, where you're there and God speaks something to your heart and you're believing in something. I believe, when Lo and I, when we were talking about, when we were traveling this last time and we were standing there at a McDonald's and we talked with Dominic, I really believe God gave us a measure of faith with him when we held hands out front and just prayed with him. I don't know how much he had on his own, but I was believing the Lord that God was gonna do something in that guy's life. And he needed to turn away from what he was doing and get back right with God. And God gave me a measure of faith, a manifestation of faith to believe that for him and for that situation that he was in. So they walk up, Peter and John, they're walking along and they come to the gate beautiful at the temple and they're talking with this one lame guy they know, not literally a person who was lame. And they're talking with him because you're thinking, gosh, I know a lot of them. Anyway, they're talking with this guy and the guy realize, man, the Lord wants to heal him. So there's a couple of gifts starting to, manifestation starting to swirl. But initially, for this to take place, for the healing to take place, the exercise of faith had to take place too, didn't it? Simultaneously. But they had to speak that out at some point, didn't they? They had to say to him, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh my goodness. I dare say, how many of us have really been in that situation where you stuck out your hand by faith and just said, come on, get up and start pulling this guy up? We would freak out. What if it doesn't work? You know, but that's the thing about faith that's powerful. When God comes upon you in that way, you know that you know that you know that God's gonna do that right then. And you exercise that. That's radical, isn't it? That's the faith side of it, and we'll get to the healing side of it in just a second. But the faith side of it, Jesus also walking and looks at the fig tree, you remember? Goes, he's trying to find figs. There should be figs on it. There's not figs on it. It's leafed out. They start to grow the fruit first. It's just that kind of a tree. They start to grow the fruit first, and then if there's leaves on it, there for sure should be figs on it. So he's going to grab some figs off the, no figs. And he curses it and tells it, you know. Now, there's an illustration to Israel in that. There's a lot of things with that. I understand that. But one of the things he talks about is faith regarding that. He talked about how if you believe in God, the key with faith is believe in God, Not faith in faith. That's the struggle. That's the rub on it. Faith in faith, faith in faith. No, faith in God to do something. That I believe that God can do things. That I believe, and you believe, that God actually did speak the world into being. That's a radical faith to believe that. Did you see it happen? Nope. Every time I look at a little baby, it stretches me. I mean, I just think, man, God, you are just so miraculous. It's just great. God is so good. And if we could just keep our focus on him and our faith gets stretched. One of the things that we learned about faith when we'd gone through the Gospels too, remember, is Jesus would teach on faith. And then what would he do? He'd give the exam. He'd teach on it, give the exam. Give you an opportunity. Faith is an interesting, I think all of these things are interesting to me. Because it's all part of the operation. Faith has to be activated in all of our lives for all of these things to happen well. I really believe that. But the manifestation of faith and this operation of it, the idea, the concept is that you and I are going to exercise that. We're going to do something with that. If we just think on it, it's not really faith in motion. And faith is, remember, if you see it happening in advance, it's not faith. Faith is believing in things yet unseen. That's the operation of it. It's that it's coming to pass, even though it isn't come to pass at this point. That's God giving that measure of faith or that amount of faith, that manifestation of faith for you, for me, in a situation that God might move in a specific, special way. What about gifts of healing? Now, notice, this does not say the gift of healing, does it? Plural, gifts of healings. This means that in a setting, there can be God moving, touching, working through different people, bringing about a healing touch to many in whatever the need might be. It's not that one person possesses the gift of healing. I believe those people might have more of a manifestation in faith to operate that, but I don't believe that they have just a gift of healing because this is the gifts of healing. That God moving through his people, through the body of Christ, can reach out and touch and minister and bring healing to the body of Christ, to those in need. And again, some of those times where we've seen that happen, it certainly, the person that got healed, when Jesus walked by and talked to the one guy, I don't know what happened. How? You know, because they're wanting to know, how did this happen to you? How did this happen to you? Guys, I don't know. How does he know he was blind? All of a sudden, I heard somebody make a noise, and all of a sudden, splatter hit my face. Somebody spit on me. How it happened is just pretty irrelevant, because all of a sudden, next thing I knew, I could see, and I know who did it. It was Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus did it. It's not the how, it's the who. I think that's important, don't you, in the operation and the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit of God? That it's not the how, it's the who. And it's not the who isn't you. I'm going to write a new kind of in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to do a who, you know, one of those things. From Dr. Seuss has called me already about this, and we're working on a special book for Christian kids. But the how and the who of the Spirit of God. But you can see what's going on with this. This idea of, man, the working of God and how God wants to move. And we don't want to just table it and put it off to the side. It does not say gift. It says gifts. And God wants to heal and move and do supernatural touch. We saw this throughout the Gospels, and we see it through all of Acts. Healings, words of knowledge. Words of wisdom, certainly faith being activated. You see, all through Acts, it was the Spirit that was doing the leading, really, within the church. And I love what Paul the Apostle wrote in Galatians. Having begun in the Spirit, are we now going to be made perfect? Are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Are we going to now go on to this we've got all this knowledge and information, and so now that has more perfected us than the simple work of God's Spirit moving through the body of Christ. To me, I think this is empowering to me. I think this should be empowering to you. That God wants to use you. Yes, you. Just as an individual believer, God wants to move in your life to touch other people's lives, to help them in their journey with the Lord. And oftentimes, it will be very supernatural in a very natural way. I love that. I love how God works that way. And oftentimes, you may not even be really that clearly aware. That's the significance and the value for you and I of how do I walk in the Spirit. Man, I want to, my life journey, when that light came on 25 years ago, early on as I gave my life back to the Lord and started following God, all of a sudden that light, it was talked about, it was explained about this life in the Spirit and what the life in the Spirit was like. And man, I just have spent, I think about this all the time. I want to walk in the Spirit. That's where it's all at. Letting God move in and through our lives. It's one thing to know that God loves you. That's powerful. It's wonderful. But that God can flow through you. That God can use you in these odd, random situations. That you may be the weird person that stands at the end of the stairway that got rolled up to the jet and you walk out and you got to stand at the bottom because God told you to hug that older gal. It's so distraught that doesn't know God and that's so distraught over the loss of her city and probably friends and family. Can't communicate, don't know the language. You and I don't know what that meant to somebody else. I'll never know, but God knows. Your place, my place, is just to be the goofball that stands at the bottom of the stairs once in a while, you know? Sometimes that's just what we're supposed to do. Basically, doesn't it boil down to an obedience, doesn't it? Are you willing to let God work in and through your life? Are you willing to aspire to walk in the Spirit? See, that means I've got to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. I've got to let God be the priority in my life. I've got to really be seeking after the Lord. And then all of a sudden, God's Spirit just starts to flood in and starts. He's not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for people that are willing to be used, to cross over the Jordan and be used. Doesn't matter anything about where you've been or what you've done or anything. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God wants to do that in and through your life. Thank you so much for listening today. This is Pastor Jim, and I'm really blessed that you've tuned in, and I hope that God's really doing a fresh new work in your life. And oftentimes, when we hear messages like today's message, the Lord starts to tug on our hearts, and he wants to hear from us. He wants our response, and that's just a prayer, a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you need to repent and turn your life back over to the Lord. Maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus and you've never done that before. This is your time. This is your opportunity. God's word goes out and he's making himself known and he wants you to live and have everlasting life. Incline your ear and come to him. And so Jesus is calling out to you and it's your opportunity to respond and call back to him. And just open that door in your heart. It's a simple response in prayer. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. If you just pray this simple prayer of faith, God will come into your life and make your heart his home. Jesus, I ask that you would do just that. Make my heart your home, that you would come in and forgive me of my sin. I want to ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I know this isn't about religion. It's about a relationship, and I want to start that relationship. You're calling out to me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm in need of spiritual help, and so I'm calling out to you, God, asking that you would help me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making yourself known to me, and Lord, I just want to receive that gift of everlasting life. I want to thank you for it right now. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.